Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
All right, LA, appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Mason Island threw me off a little bit. It's MT. It's always MT. Michael Thompson, MT. I'm going to get Michael Thompson, MT, on the phone and get his thoughts if he wants me to change it. I asked him one time. I asked him. I was literally curious when I got this tweet. I've always referred to Michael Thompson as MT. I don't know. I thought everybody called him MT. Quick rundown of the show tonight. Dylan Hernandez, LA Times. UFC 249 canceled. We'll talk a little bit about that event. David Bowder from the Associated Press. What is TV viewership while everyone is quarantined? How much is it going up? What networks are going up? So we'll do that. And, of course, we'll do our high school senior shout-out. Isabel Teran de Leon from Rancho Verde High School, part of the marching band. We'll have Isabel on around 7:45. So we'll start off the show with this. Brandon Cooks, you heard Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for ESPN. Brandon Cooks reportedly traded to the Houston Texans. Trade still in the process, and Rapoport of the NFL Network reported it as well. This is kind of, I don't want to say an interesting move. This has been the theme of the Rams offseason so far. So Texans, by the way, get Cooks and a 2022 fourth rounder. Remember, this is the Texans that traded away DeAndre Hopkins. Everyone on Twitter and everyone in the national media absolutely slammed them for doing it. If you go on Twitter right now, I think they're continuing to slam the Texans. Why the Rams do it? Rams, by the way, got this year's 57th pick, which is a second-round pick in this upcoming draft. So I think 2 weeks from today is the NFL draft. This is probably why it makes sense for the Rams. And I know Lindsay kind of laid it out for us, and she put out she was mentioning to Mason Ireland that it's still dead money, but the big part of this and the main theme of the Rams offseason so far, financially, they're trying to just get some type of salary cap. They have put themselves in a tough position with a lot of these contracts, and now they're starting as best as they can to get some of these contracts off the books. Of course, Jared Goff's contract, that's not going anywhere. That's $134 million. Aaron Donald, another big contract. But Cooks was owed $8 million in 2020. Part of his five-year, $80 million contract, $81 million contract, he wasn't going to be a free agent until 2024. So it makes sense from a financial basis. It is a weapon that they lose, but I feel like right now with the Rams, they're trying to get their finances in order, and it's more of a big-picture play rather than a short-term play. Now, it also is going to be extremely helpful to have the 57th pick in the draft, in this upcoming draft. I know that's something that's extremely valuable to the Rams, but that's kind of what, when you look at the Rams and you look at their predicament, their situation in the NFC West, which is stacked right now with the San Francisco 49ers, the Seattle Seahawks, and Arizona Cardinals team that everybody thinks is not just improving but can make some noise this upcoming year, that's the thought process that they have. And look, don't get me wrong. Brandon Cooks, great in 2018, struggled last season. You heard Mace make a quick mention of it, 583 yards, two touchdowns on 42 catches. So it's not like he was putting up crazy numbers. But what was crazy is his contract. I think what this also does is I think this will put an incredible, incredible amount of pressure. And it also puts a lot of faith in Jared Goff, because I think that $134 million contract, you don't give somebody that much money unless you think they are your franchise and they could be the difference of you taking you back to the Super Bowl or not. But it is going to put a lot of pressure on Goff, and it should, right? Like, why wouldn't it? And if you're Jared Goff, I imagine that you want that pressure. You want to have, first of all, you better have it back in the backfield, because if there's no pressure of a run game, if there's no threat of the run game, it's going to make Jared Goff's life a living hell. So we'll see, what they end up doing in the draft, which is 2 weeks away from today. But that's the news that's coming out, is Brandon Cooks reportedly traded to the Texans. I did ask because I was curious. I asked Lindsay theory about SoFi Stadium, the construction site, of what the really just what the latest is there and what I'm referring to. She sent out a tweet a little bit earlier today. SoFi Stadium construction site where two workers have tested positive for COVID-19. They have enhanced safety protocols have been put into place, according to Turner, AECOM Hunt spokesman. Temperature scans strictly enforce social distancing, increased toilets and wash stations. So we have kept an eye on what's going to happen with SoFi, and they're working. 3,000 workers that are trying to build the stadium, get it ready for, you know, hopefully everybody is hoping for a 2020 season. Here's the one thing I'll say, and I think this is gonna be the interesting thing that plays out. By the way, ironically, right now I'm watching NFL Network. It's Rams and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But this is what I think is going to be interesting. We are watching all these leagues, and we are trying to figure out with all these leagues what scenario is going to play out. Is there going to be a scenario that is there going to be an NBA season this year? Are they going to be able to finish off the 2020 season? Okay, that's one example. Will Major League Baseball be able to have a season, and how many games would they be able to play? A couple days ago, you saw that report from Jeff Passan. They were flowing the idea around of having all the games in Arizona, every Major League Baseball team using those 10 spring training stadiums plus Chase Field. The one thing we're not talking about, so we're talking about all the different scenarios of all these sports. Are they going to be played? Are they not going to be played? The one thing we're not talking about is if there's going to be fans there, because I don't think anybody feels like there's going to be fans in the near future at a sporting event. And that probably is the same with concerts. That's probably the same with any event that, you know, obviously requires over 50 people, or And in most of these cases, it's thousands of people. And I just bring that to attention because SoFi, I know there's almost $5 billion spent for this stadium. And it's going to be – there arguably won't be another stadium like this in the world when it's all done. And it's going to be right here in L.A. in Inglewood. But at the same time, you know, these safety precautions that they're taking, 3,000 workers still there. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point there's some type of postponement on construction. And I say that because I don't see fans in SoFi for a long time anyways. You know, I don't think anybody imagines that there's going to be fans at big sporting events for a long time. I mean, do you see that happening anytime in 2020? This year, let's just use 2020 as an example. Do you think at any point in 2020 would you imagine that there would be fans in a stadium? I don't think there will be, but let's, you know, obviously wait and see how things end up playing themselves out. One of the things I want to do when we come back, so a couple things. If the Lakers season ended today, would you deem it a success? And also Jalen Rose on GetUp, he was talking specifically about fans and what he thinks can play out for the rest of 2020. So we'll do that coming up next. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. I'm going to switch gears here, talk a little bit of Lakers. If the Lakers season ended today, would you deem it a success? So if we didn't get a chance to play out that 2020 season and no champion, would you still deem the season a success? We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right. Appreciate you guys tuning in. So, by the way, Jess, I don't think, and Curtis, I'm not the only one that calls MT, right? Can we officially
say that?
No,
you're not crazy. I told the guys on the break, there's a few people that do it, so you're not alone.
Okay. No, I don't think you're alone. I mean, every now and then I revert to saying MT, but it just depends for me on the context. If I'm like, you know, going something quick, I'll be like, yeah, look, MT is over there, or AMT, we got MT coming on. Or
so what do you say? Do you say Michael?
I honestly do go back and forth, because when I see him, I'm like, hey, Michael, how are you doing? You know. But if it's like, you know, in the moment, I'll probably just say MT just because it's quicker and in the moment.
Yeah, this caller is kind of, you know.
But you want to know.
Just listen to this, Jess. Kind of all over me. And I'll say this. And I say it.
I heard the voice.
I really don't care. But like when I say all over me is if you go out of your way to tweet me to tell me that and then you go put it on a voicemail, you really don't like MT as a nickname to Michael Thompson. But if MT would have told me, if MT would have ever said, or when I asked him, if I would have said, hey, do you not want me to call you that way? You want me to say Michael Thompson Fully? I 100% would say Michael Thompson Fully. Like, I love Michael Thompson, and I respect the guy like crazy. So I would do it. But MT was like, what are you talking about? No, I don't care. Yeah, you call me MT anytime. I'm like, okay, well, if I have MT's approval, that's all I need.
You want to know what's funny? I remember that. I don't know if I was producing if I was in the studio.
You were producing. I think you were producing the Lakers.
Okay, yeah, because I remember that conversation vividly. Because I remember I'm just like, you know, I think we both looked at each other like, is this guy really serious? Because we haven't really heard anyone complain about that. And then you asked MT, and I think he went on Twitter and found that and said, everything how you said it, it's exactly how it happened. I remember all that. As you were saying it, it was just coming back to me.
Well, here's the thing. What's funny is, man, I mean, I take – If listeners have a suggestion on something, I definitely take it. I look at each one of these customers. It's like we're running a restaurant, right? And if they don't like the food that you're serving, you better adjust the food. But like little things like that, I'm like, what are we doing here? You know, like is that a big enough deal to go out of your way to do something along those lines? But hey, it is what it is. I appreciate somebody going out of their way to leave a voicemail about something they don't like about me on Mason and Ireland's voicemail.
That's a lot of thoughts, you know, because that's you're going the extra step of like, no, I got to make sure Alan hears this. I got to go on Mason and Ireland and make sure that I play it, they hear it, and they relate the message to you.
I know.
It's just crazy. We live in crazy times, people.
We're as we've been, you know, these last what is it? Almost a month now, or maybe it's been a month. I can't remember anymore. But
it's been
obviously
close
to a month. Everybody still at home, broadcasting from home. So I want to transition to this real quick because Jalen Rose on GetUp. Jalen Rose is one of my favorite guys to listen to. I would say Jalen Rose, Max, Stephen A. You know, those are the three that anytime they have something to say, and usually it's around NBA related stuff, I always enjoy listening to them. So Jalen Rose on Get Up with Mike Greenberg. And I just want to go off of this because I was just mentioning we were talking about SoFi Stadium and that they're taking more precautionary measures. They had two people test positive for COVID-19. The point that I'm making is I don't know if this is something they have to rush the way they were trying to rush before. And I know the stadium is already delayed, and I know there's $5 billion going into this stadium. I'm not cutting the check, so it's very easy for me to say, well, why don't you guys just hold up and not rush into this? But I just don't feel like there's going to be fans walking into a stadium anytime in the near future. Here's Jalen Rose on Get Up. Doesn't expect fans at all for the rest of 2020.
I'm starting to be relegated to believe that we will have to be entertained without fans in the stands for the remainder of 2020. Now, again, I'm hoping that when NFL starts in September, I'm hoping the NBA can resume in late July or August. But if it does, I heard LeBron's commentary, it won't be with fans in the stands, in my opinion.
All right, so that's Jalen right there. You know what's interesting about this? And if you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. What's interesting about this to me is I wonder what that experience is going to be like. And I'm on board. Mace put out a tweet earlier today. If there isn't a vaccine for COVID-19, are you cool with walking into a big-time arena, 100,000 seats, 50,000, 20,000? How about just go to the Hollywood Bowl, 4,000, 5,000, whatever it is. Are you comfortable with it? I'm not one that's comfortable with it. I think I'm not one to say, unless we're kind of completely back to normal, and we'll see what that normal looks like down the road, I'm not one to say, yep, I'm good. I want to walk into one of these arenas. But what will be fascinating when we do get the opportunity to see sports back again is what's that experience going to be like without fans? I'll take it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think everybody agrees. If we don't have fans in stadiums and that's the only option we have in 2020, I have to imagine 100 out of 100 people are going to say, okay, well, if that's the only option we have, sign me up. I'm in. I'll take it. But at the same time, and the reason why I kind of set this up this way, I'm curious of what that experience is going to be like on TV, what that experience is going to be like for the athletes out on the court or on the field, because one of the main reasons why I love watching college football, NFL football, I've said this to Jesse and Curtis a couple times. I said this on the air a couple times. One of the best sporting events to just watch on TV is those Saturday night college football games. And it doesn't even have to be a local team. It doesn't have to be SC or UCLA. It could be a great Pac-12 matchup, Oregon and Washington State. It could be Texas versus Texas A&M. You know, just using those schools as examples. But what I get interested in is the absolute craziness going on around these stadiums where they're absolutely packed. And college stadiums and college football, that's probably one of the best environments it gets when it comes to sports. And that's not to say that Staples Center, when it's not rocking with 20,000 people, it's amazing to be there. When I'm there for Laker games, I'll just use this as an example for Laker games. And this has happened many a times. I'm sitting in the press area, right? So you're not allowed to, you're not supposed to cheer as a fan. Sometimes Lakers were beating the Clippers on that game the Sunday before the season got postponed. You would have thought I was I bought the tickets myself. I had a beer and a hot dog and I was hanging out with friends. I was enjoying the Lakers win. You know, it's like, and a lot of that has to do with I was looking at the other Laker fans and we were all kind of connecting, and you don't even have to say anything to anybody, but the Lakers were playing a fantastic game against a team that hadn't won this year. The fan experience is everything. But I don't think that's going to happen in 2020. I don't. Like I feel I think we're gaining some progress. It sounds like, you know, the curve in some areas of the country is it's not spiking up the way it was at one point. And I say that cautiously because you never know, something could change. And I say this, and you know, listen to CNN or Fox, whatever network you listen to, you hear Dr. Fauci always say this: got to keep the gas, right? You can't pull back now. You got to keep your foot on the gas. And I think a lot of people are doing that by just staying at home and not allowing the virus to spread. But I got no idea what August will hold, what September will hold, October, November. But what I will say, it doesn't sound like having fan interaction, fans at games, doesn't sound like that's coming up anytime soon. That's my personal opinion. It's not based on anything on that front, but that's how I feel based upon just kind of some of the information that we've got. And I know we're going to get more and more information. And as we do, we'll get obviously updates. All right, I want to take a quick call. And I proposed this question. So if you're just tuning in right now, if the Lakers season ended today, would you deem it a success? Would you look at this season a success if we didn't get a chance to play out the rest of the year and no one is crowned an NBA champion? Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I got Laker Rob on line one calling on the 14 freeway. Laker Rob, appreciate you calling in, bud.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just real quick on the no fans, I'm more optimistic. I'm going to be watching my Chargers at the new stadium, just bought season tickets. Hmm. And another point of that, I was flipping through channels, and Friday night, got Friday Night SmackDown, and there was no fans. Mm-hmm. And that was the most strangest thing I have ever seen. With no fan, you can hear them yelling at each other. it just didn't have the same feel. But on the other hand, with basketball, I think it would be kind of cool with no fans if that's the way we had to go, because then you can hear the shoes squeaking and you can hear the smack talking back and forth. So that's my first point. And then getting to the Lakers.
Well, Rob, I'll say this just real quick. I'll say on that front, the leagues, I guarantee you, are going to be creative. And what I mean by that is, if we're going to lose the fan experience and that part's not going to be there, you have to imagine all the leagues, all the players, all the commissioners, they're going to find ways, like you're saying, some of these guys got to be mic'd up. You know, I think they're going to, they have to be creative. They have to embrace, okay, if there's no fans, how can we use that to our advantage? So like you mentioned, it might be cool in basketball. They got to figure out ways for all the leagues. Keep going with your other point.
Yeah, so being a Laker fan since 1979, I pretty much bleed purple and gold. I got a 500-square-foot Laker room that's immaculate, and I'm not thinking it would be a successful season unless we won the championship, and I really do believe that we were on our way. I mean, James and AD were absolutely clicking, and the role players, you know, we had a little up and down here, but they started looking really good the last five or six games that we played.
Rob, I appreciate you calling in. I don't I'll give you my thoughts when we come back, all right? Because I definitely have a take on this. Max Kellman on First Take, he had a take on it as well. And we'll take more of your guys' phone calls. If the season stopped today, no 2020 champ was crowned, would you still deem this season a success for the Los Angeles Lakers? 877-710-ESPN. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
All right, so would you consider this season a success for the Los Angeles Lakers if we didn't play out the 2020 year? All the accomplishments that the Los Angeles Lakers had. LeBron James MVP caliber season. LeBron was ridiculous this year, by the way. Anthony Davis was exactly the player that I think we were all expecting him to be. And I kept saying this, well, come playoffs, he's got to be even better. But AD is kind of what you signed up for. Head coach Frank Vogel proved that he can be the head coach of the Lakers and potentially take the Lakers to an NBA champion, to an NBA championship as a head coach. Pelinka proved he can go out there in the offseason, not only make the trade for Anthony Davis, but also kind of tweak around some players, bring Dwight in, try and create the right culture, grab Danny Green in the offseason, mix together, you know, some different players that made sense, buyout, the buyout market, grab Markieff Morris. So there's a lot that was accomplished this year for the Los Angeles Lakers. But if we don't play out the 2020 season and there's no chance at an NBA championship, this isn't, you know, I know there's a saying with Laker fans out there, if you don't win a championship, then it's a wasted season, right? When you have 16 chips, that's exactly right. You're not trying to win the division and you're pumping your fist. You're not trying to just get to the playoffs and you're running around with your shirt off. You know, like there's certain things you have to accomplish if you're the Los Angeles Lakers franchise to really consider that, man, this was a very successful season. I think under the circumstances, I cannot deny what the Lakers have accomplished this year. And it would be, you know, it'd be awful that we don't get a chance to play out this season. And if that happens, there's a reason why it happened. And, you know, safety first, and this isn't the time, sports is secondary. But if that happened, I would look at this Lakers season and I would definitely see a lot of success that the Lakers had. But that whole of not getting a chance to win a championship, that would by far outshine any of the success that the Lakers had. And it's nobody's fault, right? It's not nobody's fault from the organization. It's nobody's fault from the league. It's just a circumstance that everybody's in. But I think what makes it tougher for the Lakers, and we've said this a couple different times, what makes it tougher is the fact that, you know, LeBron is 35 years old. The year that LeBron is having this season has been unbelievable. I don't know what's going to happen next year. You know, where you could say with the Clippers, for example, they have a longer window right now with the roster that they have because Kawhi is his age and Paul George is as young as he is and the roster is kind of built. Doesn't mean that it's perfect and they got a lot of questions and we'll see what happens next year and everything else. But you're in this window for the Lakers. So, LeBron said this a couple times yesterday that he wouldn't have closure on the season. Well, I'll tell you right now, from a fan perspective, damn, there wouldn't be closure. But my personal opinion, would I call this season a success if it stopped right now and we didn't get a chance to play for an NBA championship? There were a lot of successful moments, but a success, no, because we didn't get a chance to play for that NBA chip. Here's Max Kellerman on First Take giving his thoughts.
For the Lakers in particular, a season that you don't win a championship is not considered a success. You have to win the championship. So especially LeBron now, it's his second season there. Ultimately, that would be true. Were he to have had an injury you know, was the season a success? No, you can't say it because other teams would go on to win the championship. Some other team would. But the fact that no one is playing, if the season were not able to be finished, was this season a success for LeBron? Of course, we're talking about relatively at this point. But yes, you'd have to say yes. You're right, Stephen A. Usually, for LeBron, it's about, almost always, it's about what you do in the playoffs. Last year, he didn't make the playoffs. He got hurt, didn't make the playoffs. This would be an exception because there are no playoffs.
So I get what Kellerman's saying, right? I understand exactly what he's referencing too. But the problem with that is you just don't know if you're going to get another shot. Or you don't know by the time next year rolls around if this team and LeBron James and the way they're kind of set up, if they have that additional opportunity at an NBA championship. On GetUp, I'm going to go back to GetUp real quick with Jalen Rose. There's been these kind of conversations, and these are still going to continue, and they're always going to continue. This was LeBron's best chance to win an NBA championship. That's been a conversation I was having last week, and we are just doing it because we're local here, and I love talking Lakers basketball, and these are the type of questions that come up. Jalen Rose was asked the same question, that was this the best chance for the Lakers to win a chip? Here's Jalen's response.
And if you look at LeBron James in his 17th year, Greeny, at his age, when you build a squad around him, of course Anthony Davis is an anchor, but then all of a sudden you look deeper into the roster, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Avery Bradley, Danny Green, Rajon Rondo. They don't have long-term situations with the Lakers. They were brought there to try to win a championship this year. So therefore, if this squad isn't playing, what happens next year to a Kyle Kuzma, who really didn't fit in with Anthony Davis and LeBron because he got injured as the season started? So for LeBron, other teams are ascending. The Clippers in their own building, the Bucks in the Eastern Conference with Giannis, who's probably going to win this year's MVP. So absolutely, this is LeBron's window. If they don't get it done this year, I don't believe it happens.
All right, that's Jalen right there. You know, listen, I'm not gonna argue that one. And you guys know there isn't a bigger Laker fan than me. But this was kind of the way it was lining up. You were thinking that, man, this is the year for the Lakers. And by the way, if things get restarted, I heard Doc Rivers talking about this yesterday. Doc Rivers was saying, coach of the Clippers, was talking about how he feels like Kawhi is 100% going to be using this time to get healthy and continue training and so forth. Lakers, this time off could have affected the Lakers where it could benefit some of these other teams. And as you look big picture for the Lakers, I just thought that the way we were rolling, and it's no guarantee that we were going to win an NBA championship, and it was no guarantee that this was going to, you know, continue to work come postseason. But if you're a Laker fan out there, you had to have felt pretty damn comfortable with the position that you were in. You had the best record in the West. You had this luxury in the Western Conference in the standings. Where were the Lakers up? 5 games? 5.5 games? 4.5? Something along those lines when the season got postponed. And you kind of started mapping things out and saying, okay, maybe by April 1st, you know what? Let's give LBJ a little bit of rest. Anthony Davis, play him here and there. Now you could kind of start prepping for the postseason. With all that just stopping, and if the season, if we're fortunate enough to get the season to come back, it's going to be that chemistry that you felt like the Lakers had, that rhythm that the Lakers had. It's probably going to take a second to get everything built back up again. All right, you can hit me on Twitter as well, at Alan Sliwa. I put up the question on Twitter, so if you respond to it on Twitter, I'll try and read it a little bit later in the show. I want to transition here real quick. Let me just set this up real quick. Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times, UFC 249 canceled. Brett Okamoto from ESPN was with Dana White, and this has been a conversation that I've definitely been one to continue to have the conversation of like, damn, how is UFC going to do this? And Dana White has been persistent on trying to make it happen. They canceled 249. Here's Dana White on why they canceled it with Brett Okamoto.
You know, I told you this whole thing has been a battle since day one. You know, we've been fighting nonstop all day and all night since this pandemic started to put on this event on April 18th. And today we got a call from the highest level you can go at Disney and the highest level of ESPN. And one thing that I've said since we started our relationship and partnership with ESPN that has been an incredible one. It's been an amazing partnership. ESPN has been very, very good to us, and the powers that be there asked me to stand down and not do this event next Saturday.
All right, that's Dana White. When we come back, Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times, we're going to talk specifically about why UFC 249 was canceled. If Dylan Hernandez is surprised about that at all, he had a great article in the LA Times. This was actually before the cancellation, him questioning, well, why is UFC even trying to put on this fight? But he talks about the culture of UFC. We'll do that coming up next day right here, the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, attention Southern California business owners. During the COVID-19 pandemic, businesses are being decimated in an unprecedented way. Many businesses have insurance to cover for this, but insurance companies are wrongfully denying their business interruption claims. I've had the opportunity the last couple weeks to have numerous conversations with Brad Wallace, his team of attorneys at the Wallace Firm. What they're trying to get me to do is just to emphasize, if you're a local business that's out there and you have questions about your insurance policy, maybe you don't understand how it works. I know a lot of those contracts have just think about all the details that are in there, and you're just trying to run your own small business, and there's this interruption in your business because of COVID-19, call Brad Wallace and the Wallace Firm, and they'll give you a free consultation. They'll review your business insurance policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for operating expenses and or lost revenue. So if this applies to you and you think Brad Wallace and the Wallace Firm could potentially help, it's a free consultation. The phone number is 844-844-WINS, 844-844-WINS, or visit wallacewins.com. I appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show. Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times, nice enough to join the show. Dylan, you had a, and you still have a great article up in the LA Times, and I think it's now even more relevant just because of just what went down with UFC 29. Staging fights amid pandemic is irresponsible, but you have to understand the UFC culture. Dylan, thanks for taking some time to hop on the show.
No, thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, so here we are. I was prepared to kind of chat with you about just kind of the circumstances. Why does President of UFC Dana White think this is a good idea? How come he's navigating through all these different circles to have this fight go? And part of me, I was actually giving him praise to kind of look at all these obstacles and be like, no, I think we could still find a way to do this. And then just a couple hours ago, UFC 249, that fight is now off. Are you surprised that the fight is off?
A little bit, because I guess, ultimately, so what Dana White just came out, there was a video interview that was posted on ESPN's YouTube page where he basically outlined what happened, which is that ESPN and its parent company, Disney, stepped in and told them, could you please stand down? So, mm-hmm. You kind of read between the lines. What happened was, right, this thing becomes public. ESPN now has second thoughts based on kind of the public reaction, which obviously there was a lot of people that were, thinking, including myself, obviously, that this isn't particularly smart. Dianne Feinstein actually just, earlier today sent out a news release saying, that this was irresponsible, that they would be tying up, that they could be burdening our medical system, therefore, that this thing should be delayed. And my guess is that ESPN at that point, just said, okay, this just isn't worth the backlash that we're going to take in PR for this. I guess that what I am surprised about is that they let it get this far, right? You kind of figure that, well, if they let it get to this point and they're, already, I think the UFC already last night was posting videos, hype videos for the pay-per-view. You're thinking, okay, well, that's got to mean that ESPN thought about this. They thought about the potential backlash, and they're just saying, okay, screw it. We're going to go with this. So from that point, I am surprised.
Yeah, I think there's got to be, some pressure. And I think the pressure that we're referring to is all these sports are in complete limbo right now, and it's going to take time. Major League Baseball has some ideas. NBA is thinking, what if we did this? They're throwing ideas out there, but it's not for April 18th. You know, this is for maybe in June, maybe in July, maybe in August. And I think as more answers, as we get more answers, because I think right now all it is about questions, you're right, probably some pressure to the network. So UFC, you can have an event, but we don't want to be a part of it. And if you got that powerhouse from ESPN and Disney saying this is not a good look for us, well, who's going to then air the fight? And I think that's maybe what it came down to for Dana White and UFC. But you actually, your article, I think, was – I want you to give a little bit of a background on the article, because I'm going to read off the title again. Staging fights amid pandemic is irresponsible. You have to understand the UFC culture. Give kind of – for those who haven't got a chance to read the article, what are you referring to when you say – you have to understand the UFC culture?
Yeah, I think, you know, combat sports in general, you know, and that includes obviously mixed martial arts and before that boxing, have always kind of operated, you know, right at that edge of, you know, acceptability, social acceptability, right? I mean, you know, as it is, right, you're talking about just two guys just going in and just beating each other up. And I do think there's a legitimate question to be asked, should we have that in a civilized society? You know, and I am saying this is a huge boxing fan, by the way. But, you know, I think, especially MMA, you know, when it started, was particularly maligned. You know, it's got a really bad image, you know, and a lot of it had to do with John McCain, you know, the late Arizona senator, calling it human cockfighting. And, you know, I think what made it really bad was the fact that McCain was actually an ardent supporter of boxing. And the fact that he found he was okay with boxing, which already itself had like a, you know, obviously not a great image. Mm-hmm. If he said boxing was okay, but this isn't. You know, obviously it made it tough, right? For the business to go, to get sponsors, to, you know, get states to sanction the sport. And there've been all these obstacles that the UFC has faced over the course of existence, you know, to, appease regulators and, you know, to just also just get like legalized even in some states, you know, there were times when the organization as a whole was on the brink of financial collapse. So obviously there are times when, you know, and this happens in boxing too, where main event fighters get hurt and they had to switch things up, you know, at a time when they really couldn't afford to do so financially, or where they had to switch venues at the last minute. And I really think that, you know, Dana White and the UFC, their attitude has always been, okay, we're not going to look at this as a problem, but okay, how are we going to get around this? How are we going to conquer this problem? And I think that they kind of looked at this coronavirus very similarly, you know. And I think also that, you know, UFC, you know, and MMA in general have taken a lot of their cues, obviously, from, you know, what I refer to as their drunk uncle, boxing, in which, right, they've, you know, boxing has always, again, you know, I think because its audience has maybe a higher threshold of what's unacceptable, you know, they've kind of found different ways to, say, get funding, right? You know, Ali Foreman, famously, you know, both fighters were demanding $5 million each, which back in 1971 was a lot, or 1974 was a lot of money. And Don King went out to Zaire and their murderous dictator put up the money because he wanted to improve the image of his country. Ali Frazier III took place in Ferdinand Marcos' Philippines. Even just this past year, Anthony Joshua, Andy Ruiz, you know, they're looking for big paydays. Okay, how are we going to secure this money? Well, they wound up going to Saudi Arabia, which just happened to have murdered a Washington Post journalist. So, you know, boxing and MMA, I think they're willing to kind of do things maybe that other sports can't, just because, you know, maybe other sports, they're, again, you're talking about maybe wider audiences with more, you know, a wider view of, wider range of views, or say like the NBA just couldn't go and take the money from a dictator, right? Baseball just couldn't go, you know, and take Vladimir Putin's money the way, say, a boxing promotion can, or the way a UFC promotion can. So I think a lot of that kind of had to play with it. And I think also Dana White, part of the calculation too was, let's say like the worst thing had happened, right? Where, you know, multiple fighters test positive for the coronavirus afterwards, and this thing turns into like even like a worse pandemic than we expect, and right, millions, right, the deaths reach millions. I'm not even sure Dana White makes the top 20 list of like most culpable people, right? I mean, you're talking about, right, we're in a climate right now, honestly, not to get too political here, where, you know, the president of the country was comparing this thing to a flu, right, where you know, beaches weren't shut down, where still some states are saying that it's okay to go to church and stuff, right? And mm-hmm. I do think that if this thing does get out of hand, there are going to be a lot more people to kind of point your finger at other than Dana White. And I think that was, part of his calculation.
Dylan Hernandez with the LA Times, we're talking about UFC canceling. UFC 249 will not happen on April 18th. This just announced within the last couple hours or so. So, Dylan, I'll ask you this then. I guess, you know, what has made UFC so successful is that kind of pushing the buttons. Dana White has been, as president of UFC, he's taken chances, right? He has put this sport in a position where they're going to, if everybody's going right, they're going to try and go left. Do you, in a way, respect what he was trying to do, or do you think that it was just, it just wasn't a good idea all around, and eventually it was going to get squashed, which it obviously did today?
Yeah, I don't think this was a good idea. You know, I think we have to remember just about kind of human nature in general, right, is that a person's strengths and a person's weaknesses often come from the same place. A person who's driven to become great by insecurity, well, that insecurity also kind of cripples them in different situations. I think Dana White's, again, his creativity, his willingness to push the envelope is what made the UFC what it is now. I just kind of don't think that in the middle of a global pandemic, that's probably not like a trait that you necessarily want, right? And the other part of it, too, is that, you know, this is, you know, for them, the kind of downside of going mainstream, right? Where they have, you know, the thing is with the ESPN now, they it's a $1.5 billion contract that they signed in 2018. And it gave ESPN exclusive rights to their fight. So they just contractually can't do anything without ESPN. Now, I'm sure at this point, if ESPN is not refusing to do this, they can break out of it, whatever. But it seems like it's been a very convenient and fruitful marriage for both sides. So, you know, but again, you know, once again, you go mainstream, so to speak, you do become subject to the, you know, forces that kind of dictate normal culture, so to speak.
Last thing I want to leave you with, how much have you been following what's going on in the South Korea Baseball League? Have you followed that at all? They're targeting early May potentially as a restart, and preseason as early as April 21st. How much do you think some of these other leagues can learn from what they're doing?
Yeah, and I think Taiwan, I believe, is starting this weekend. So that's kind of the first one to kind of keep an eye on. And you also have Japan, which was kind of interesting because they were actually targeting, I believe, the end of this month. And kind of what happened there, and this is a really kind of interesting thing because you're talking about, like, bubbles and stuff, right? The Japanese, my mom's Japanese, I'm pretty familiar with the culture. Right, they don't stress individual rights as much as, say, we do, right? So even while they were kind of shut down and, you know, they were having spring training games kind of in front of no crowds, they were doing all that, and the players were living, like, in dorms, basically. So you had kind of a semi-quarantine type deal there. And what ended up happening was, three players from the Hanshin Tigers tested positive. Turns out, like, they went out, right, with a group of girls at some point, like, on a group date type thing. Mm-hmm. Those girls got infected. Now, all of a sudden, you know, the teams that they played recently had to get tested. And, you know, and this also kind of, I think, right, Japan, I think early on did a pretty good job of kind of containing all of this. And I think might have felt, you know what, we got past this thing. And they happened to have a three-day weekend, which fell actually when the cherry blossoms bloomed. And, you know, in Japan, a three-day weekend is kind of a big deal because, you know, usually, right, they have six-day work weeks and, you know, anything, right, multiple days off in a row are considered vacations over there, right? So these people went out thinking, okay, this is fine, and now all of a sudden they're dealing with a huge surge now in coronavirus cases. So there I think we kind of saw, like, what could happen, right, where it's like, okay, I think Japan's a really good illustration, actually, of a country that, like, was doing things right, and then kind of thought, like, oh, what was the big deal the whole time? And, well, you know, it wasn't a big deal because everybody was doing things right. And the kind of the moment that things flip up a little bit, now everything, right, gets really bad. And so, yeah, I'm really curious to see what happens with Taiwan, what happens with Korea. You know, those countries, I think they've been using a lot of data, a lot of testing per capita. They've really kind of done things the right way. So I think that, you know, they're going to give us at least a blueprint of how to do things kind of right. But I think we also have to remember that a lot of these things are kind of cultural too, right? I think that even, again, with Japan, one of the reasons, at least early on, that things were going well was, you know, to begin with, people are very, it's very clean over there, right? You don't see trash. People wash their hands constantly. People wear masks when they get sick too, right? I mean, it's out of consideration for other people. You know, this is just kind of something that's new to us now because this thing's so scary. But, you know, so I'm not necessarily sure that just because it works over there that it will work here. But it will certainly give us a blueprint and some ideas maybe of how we get out of this thing.
Well, Dylan, I'll say this. I was in Japan last September, first time I'd ever visited. And, you know, you're talking about how clean it is. I'm like, where is the trash? Where are you guys putting the trash? It was beyond clean, and there were no trash cans. I didn't understand it. None of it made sense to me. But no, but it was that's – I know it's completely different. What's going on in other countries, you're right. Culturally, things can be so different that it can apply. But I think the thing to be most cautious about, like you just mentioned, the last thing we want to do is think, oh, we're good. And then, as actually Dr. Fauci, you hear him keep saying, take your foot off the gas. He's like, no, we got to keep our foot on the gas. So that's a good way to put it there. But we'll keep an eye on all those other leagues, and maybe that's some positive news in the future. But either way, man, great stuff. Great articles always on the LA Times, and I appreciate you taking some time and hopping on the show.
No, thanks so much for having me on.
All right, that's Dylan Hernandez right there. Always good stuff with Dylan. When we come back, I want to take some of your guys' phone calls. I know there's a few people waiting. 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the Sliwa Show. Stay right here. This is 710 ESPN.